The last light over Tashkent is doing something impossible with the dome of Khorsu Bazaar, turning that giant blue hemisphere into a disc of hammered copper. I am sitting on the low wall of a fountain in the square, watching the day dissolve into the chaos of the evening commute. The air is finally breathable, cooling to something that feels human, and the smell of grilled meat and flatbread is starting to drift from the stalls. This is my last full day in the city, the end of this first orientation chapter, and I am trying to hold onto the feeling. Not the sights, not the landmarks, but the texture of just being here. Today started, as every day has, with the heat. Not the gentle warmth of a summer morning elsewhere, but the specific, dry, insistent pressure of a Central Asian August. It was overcast, which in Tashkent in August is like a gift, but the air was so thick it felt like breathing through felt. I had a slow morning at a cafe I have come to think of as mine, Raspberry Coffee Roasters near the hotel. I ordered my flat white and a small pastry, the total coming to about 23,000 som, which is around $2. It is a small, familiar luxury. I sat by the window and watched the city wake up, the street sweepers with their twig brooms, the first rush of taxis. It is in these small, unremarkable moments that a place stops being a destination and starts becoming a life. The morning's big task was practical and a little bit boring, but the kind of boring that keeps you legal. I needed to sort out my long-term residence registration. I already had my SIM and my bank account from the first few days, but the registration is the piece of paper that says you actually exist here beyond a tourist stamp. The old Tashkent Propiska system was abolished last year, which is a huge relief. Now, it is apparently a notification-based process. You just file it online or at a public service center. Hotels auto-register you when you check in, which is handy, but for a long stay in an apartment, you have to do it yourself. I had all my documents lined up, my rental contract, my passport, but the server was down for maintenance, so I ended up having to go to a branch of the National Bank of Uzbekistan to sort out a related tax ID number first. A lot of back and forth, a lot of photocopying, but in the end, the registration was filed. Another box ticked, another anchor dropped in this new life. With the paperwork done, I rewarded myself with a walk through the old city, the Eski Shahar. I started at the Kast Imam complex, the holiest site in the city. There is a stillness there that is hard to find in the rest of Tashkent. The sounds are different. The low murmur of prayer, the sound of a broom on stone, the soft shuffle of slippers. I went to the Mui Mubarak library and stood in front of the Uthman Quran, the world's oldest Quran manuscript, all 350 pages of it, stained by centuries of handling and bound under a careful cover. It is not just an artifact. It is a living thing, a physical link to the earliest days of Islam in this part of the world. Standing there, in the quiet, I felt the weight of the history that this country is built on. From there, I drifted back towards Khorsu, the giant bazaar. I have visited it several times in the last week, but I have not yet gone deep into the meat hall, which sits below the blue dome in a cool, subterranean, slightly surreal space. The moment you descend the stairs, the temperature drops and the smell of raw meat, spice, and smoke hits you. Butchers in white coats are working at their blocks, and there are entire carcasses of lamb hanging, cases of fresh offal, and mountains of dried sausage. It is a carnivore's cathedral. I bought a small piece of local cheese and some fresh herbs for a few thousand som, and I was out of there. The main hall above ground was already shutting down for the midday break, the rhythm of the city on a hot day. The sellers were pulling their tarps over their stalls of melons, grapes, and peaches, and heading off for long naps until the late afternoon. That siesta rhythm is not an affectation here. It is survival. You move early, you stop in the middle, and you come back to life when the sun starts its fall. By 4 o'clock, the city begins to exhale. I took my own siesta after lunch, back at the hotel with the curtains drawn and the fan on, the room a dark, cool cave against the white noise outside. When I woke, I was feeling a little maudlin about leaving. To shake it off, I decided to do the one thing Tashkent is famous for and to do it properly. I took the metro to the station near the TV tower and walked over to Besh Kozan, the open-air Plov Center. Besh Kozan is not a restaurant in the traditional sense. It is a theater of fire and rice. There is a huge pavilion with a row of enormous wok-like kazans, some of them a meter and a half in diameter, set into the stoves. I got there around 5, which is the perfect time. The lunch rush is over, but the second cooking of the day is already underway. I ordered a bowl of osh, which is the local name for plov, for around 30,000 som, maybe $2.50, and I took my place at a long communal table. The plov here is different from what you get in Samarkand. Here, the rice is more yellow, the carrots are cut into thin strips, and there is a subtle hit of cumin and garlic. I also got a small side of pickled tomatoes and a fresh, thin bread. I ate it slowly, watching the chefs work with these huge, long-handled spades, tossing the rice in the kazan. It was the best I have had so far, and it felt like a proper farewell meal. After eating, I did not rush off. I sat there, nursing a cup of green tea, and watched the sun turn the sky orange behind the TV tower. The place was filled with a mix of foreign tourists and local families, and the air was thick with the scent of oil, rice, and grilled onions. It is in these moments, I think, that you truly understand a country. Not in a museum, not at a monument, but sitting beside strangers over a bowl of the national dish, watching the day end. The cost of living here is part of the story, too, and it bears repeating for anyone thinking of a long stay. Lunch here was under $3. My flat is costing about 4.5 million som a month, which is roughly $350. A metro ride is 1,700 som on the card. A taxi anywhere in the city with Yandex Go is maybe 15,000. You can live a very good life here on a fraction of what it costs back home. There was just one thing left to do, and it was less about seeing something new and more about saying goodbye to the version of the city I have come to know. I took the metro back towards the center, past the famous stations that look like underground palaces, all marble and chandeliers and Soviet-era mosaics. The metro itself still delights me. The cost is so little and the spectacle is so grand. I got off at Amir Timur Square, not to see the statue again, but to just walk along the wide boulevard, now lit up in the blue hour with the fountains spraying in the warm wind. The city feels monumental and heavy with history, but the daily life is in the small, bubbling details. Kids on scooters, old men on benches discussing the day, the smell of shashlik from a nearby grill. The contrast is everything. This is not a city that asks to be loved. It simply is, and it is in its refusal to perform that it becomes so magnetic. I walked back to my hotel through the streets near Mairabad, the trendier part of town, past the expensive cars and the modern cafes. I stopped at a small juice stand and got a fresh pomegranate juice, the deep red of it beating on the plastic cup like jewels. It cost a few thousand som, a perfect end to a perfect day. I had considered a longer walk, maybe to the new Tashkent City Business District, with its glass towers and parks, but I stopped myself. I am leaving, and I do not need to see everything. Leaving something unseen is a way of ensuring you will return. Tomorrow, I will board a train and head south towards Samarkand, Bukhara, and Khiva. I have been deliberately saving them. They are the great, famous names, and I want to arrive in them with the autumn, not with the chaos of high summer. This week in Tashkent was never meant to be the main event. It was the preparation. It was the settling of paperwork, the learning of the rhythm, the slow, patient work of making a strange place familiar. And it has worked. Tashkent has given me its rhythm, its heat, its taste for plov and strong coffee. It has given me the confidence that I can do this, that I can navigate the bureaucracies and the languages and the distances of this incredible country. The season is changing. The weather is due for a break in the heat, and my path lies south. But the Korsu Bazaar, the quiet of Khast Imam, and that bowl of plov under the TV tower, they will be traveling with me, a small, bright thread of home to carry along the road. So this is not a goodbye to Uzbekistan. It is just a goodbye to its capital. And as the city lights of Tashkent fade behind me tomorrow, I will be looking forward, with all the anticipation and a little bit of the fear that comes with a new beginning. This is the start of the real journey, and it begins tomorrow in the quiet of a train carriage heading south. Assalamu alaikum, Tashkent. You have been a good teacher.